How thankful we are to open this, your word. We are so thankful that you are a God who has spoken to us. And we ask that you would speak now. Would you open our minds, our ears, our hearts to hear. And in receiving, may we become lovers and doers of your word. Draw us near, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I mentioned, we have been discussing gospel community, our great desire to be a light in our community, a gospel community that is self-giving, sacrificial, and this morning, service-oriented. And so I want you to consider that with me as we look here at Romans chapter 15. Amy Adams is an A-lister in Hollywood. She is an actress who is known for many of her movies like Superman, Night at the Museum 2, Arrival, almost 40 movies she's done through the years. A couple of years ago, Amy Adams was getting on a plane from filming a movie in Detroit, going back to L.A. So she was on a plane from Detroit to L.A. And as she was walking to the plane, she saw a serviceman, one who was in military, and she made a decision. She decided that she would ask one of the stewardesses if that serviceman could sit in her first class seat. She's an A-lister, of course, first class seat. So she had decided she was going to give up her first class seat to this serviceman, and the stewardess helped do that. Had no idea who she was. He took her seat. She took his seat. She went and sat down. Well, on that same flight, there was a journalist who was also sitting in first class who knew that it was Amy Adams. And so he began to tweet. And after the flight, he came up to her and wanted an interview. Wanted to know why she did that. And she said, well, it wasn't my desire to bring any interest or any notoriety to myself. I just wanted to put the spotlight on the troops. Mike Woodley, he says that's in journalism, that's what you call a man bites dog story. We see those stories all the time that are kind of the dog bites man story. That's what we expect, right? We expect the story where something bad is going to happen in the media today. But when the unexpected happens, that, according to the journalist, is newsworthy. You'd never see a man bite a dog. It's unusual. It's unexpected. And I began to think this week. You know, one of the things that's the beauty of the church is that we work counter to the world around us. Much of our story is the unexpected. Much of our story is giving up what is seemingly first class to serve those who have difference or need beyond us. And that's the heart of Paul here in Romans chapter 15. Here in Romans 15, Paul is speaking to the church at Rome about being servants to one another and servants to God's world, to thrive where God has planted them, in community together and in a reaching community to the world and to Rome, just where they are seated. But, you know, that's a challenge for us, isn't it? It's difficult to lean in. It takes initiative. It takes heart to go and to give to another, particularly someone you don't know. But yet the gospel is always looking outward. The gospel is always focusing our attentions outward. In Romans chapter 14, Paul is dealing with a controversy in the church. Basically, the controversy is about eating, food laws, and religious laws around food, and whether you can have sausage on your pizza. And he is encouraging the strong and the weak how to live together. He's dealing with community. But here in Romans 15, he begins to turn outward. And he wants a community that is not so much found, but is formed, that is formed around serving the way Jesus has served us. You see, community is not so much found as it is formed. We are about Christ, we are about community formation, and that's why we say we are a gospel community for life's journey. You see, the heart of the text is to be servant-hearted. And you are servant-hearted, according to Paul here, by pursuing two things. Gospel unity, verses 1 through 7, and gospel mission, verses 8 through 13. Gospel unity and gospel mission bound together shows the beauty of Christ, even as we serve the world around us. Now, notice there in verses 1 through 7, gospel unity. Let's be honest. This unity is easy. Unity takes commitments. This unity is easy. Unity takes commitments. It's easy to get brushed up again. And the church, every church, this church, and if you are new to the church, every church has its set of wounds and hurts and disappointments. You ever been disappointed with the church? You ever been disappointed with people in the church? You ever been hurt by somebody in the church? You ever found that that you are nursing wounds that have happened to you in the church? This unity, honestly, it's easy. It's easy to nurse that. What's difficult is to pursue unity. And the interesting thing is how we do that is we do that by seeing what Christ has done for us. Notice there in verse 1, we have this idea that our service is a service that counts others first. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. The idea here for Paul is that the goal of those who are strong in the church is not to get their way, not to do just what they want, not to be pleasing themselves, but no, verse 2, to go on and to please others by doing good. We don't think us first. We think others first, according to Paul. And why do we do that? Well, we do that because of verse 3. Because Jesus didn't please himself. He looked to bring the pleasure of God to the people around him, and Paul quotes here, Psalm 69:9, he bore the reproach of him for him. Notice there in verse 3, the reproach of those who reproached you fell on me. All those who had reproached God, and we are all guilty, by the way, in the room. Everyone has stood in offense to God. Everyone has gone their own way. But that reproach, that sin, that struggle, those misguided events in life, decisions that we've made that are against God, fell on Him, on Christ. Christ came to serve others first. To draw a people, His people, the elect of God to Himself by serving. He didn't do just what would please Him. He did what would bring pleasure to His Father and to the people of God. And that's how we are to live. Strong to weak, Jew to Gentile. What God desires is to bring harmony, unity in the body of Christ. You see that as the verses move on there, don't you? There is this truth that because we are in Christ, we have hope in Christ, verse 4, and we have the endurance and encouragement of Christ to love one another and serve one another well, verse 5 and 6, there's a prayer there. And it is this prayer for unity that leads to the pursuit of unity. Notice there in verse 5, may the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony, in unity, in love for one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a prayer for unity. Jesus did it as well on the night before he died, as he was going to the cross. The very thing he prayed for his church is that God would unify them. That they would portray the unity of Christ to the world, that God would keep them, that they may serve Him. I want to say this to us this morning. We ought to pray as Paul prays. That God would bring unity in us. That unity would shine through us. Because we have here this call to unity that is manifest in the body of Christ, not nursing our disappointments, our hurts, our struggles, but nursing the beauty of Christ at one in us with a common vision that we can welcome others. Notice there in verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. You see, ours is a service that counts others first, but ours also is a service that will not give up. It welcomes. If you're new here this morning, welcome. But I'm not just welcoming you because I'm glad you're here. I'm welcoming you because Jesus has welcomed us. Every believer in the room has the welcome of God, the benediction, that good word. That's what benediction means. The good word of God upon them. They are welcomed into family and relationship to be a welcoming people. Welcome. That's the heart of the church. That we welcome the weak into our lives. The different, Jew and Gentile, one of the great struggles in the early church. Jews didn't like Gentiles, and Gentiles didn't like Jews. But the gospel overcomes difference to bring unity, harmony, a common bond, a oneness. And this is what I would say to us this morning. If you're looking for a church, or if you've been in the church a long time, you need to find that the church is not primarily just for you. You have to resist that the church is here to serve you. No, the goal of the church is to bring a people together to the service of God, to the service of one another, and to the service of the world around us. The heart of the church is not just about making me feel good about myself or you feel good about yourself. No, as a matter of fact, oftentimes in the church you'll be afflicted in that way. The church will tell you not to feel good about yourself, but to find your hope in Jesus. And Jesus welcomes us and changes us and transforms us. That's what Paul has spoken about in the book of Romans. That's what we call justification. We don't find our identity in what we've done, but what Jesus has done. But this Jesus who laid down his life for us, he's the one who welcomes us. And by faith we hold fast to Christ, which gives us a spirit of welcome to one another and to the world around us. Service begins with the heart. It begins with a heart and an attitude that says, join. You're welcome to come in. Here we are. We are to do what Paul calls us to, and this is the heart of this text here. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. But that gospel unity, that gospel unity is wed in service to a gospel mission. And that's the heart of verses 8 through 13 there. That the gospel has feet. That the gospel cares for people and the gospel works its way out. Our service is anchored to a greater service. Because Jesus has served us. Dead, risen, and reigning. We are able to serve others. From that position of strength, not our strength, but the strength of Christ in us. And when we do that, we see that God is going forward. How is he going forward? Well, we see it in verse 8. He went forward to the Jewish people. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised, that's the Jewish people, to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. God, in Christ Jesus, has redeemed to fulfill a promise made to Abraham. Jesus came. And he came for the Jewish people, and they are drawn near. But Jesus is also going to the nations. And that's a beautiful part of this text. It's strong weak together. It's Jew-Gentile together because Christ overcomes disunity. And he puts us on a mission to serve together, to serve for the purposes of Christ. And it's a beautiful thing that Paul does here, actually. You might want to take a journey after church and run down all these Old Testament passages here. But what Paul is doing is that he is affirming the right of those who are outsiders to be insiders in the church of Christ. Yes, of course, the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah, and that Messiah has come in Jesus. But as Paul has already spoken early in Romans chapter 1, this gospel, he believed in the power of this gospel. He was not ashamed of this gospel, which was the power of God to the salvation of the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Why? Because the righteous will live by faith. And every passage here, it's interesting that Paul quotes four different passages because he quotes a passage from every major section of the Old Testament. Jewish people, when they would divide the Old Testament, they would divide it into the law, the history, the writings, what you think of as poetry, psalm, and proverbs, and the prophets. Those four categories would be drawn. And when Paul is making his argument for unity, for mission, for gathering a people together, different educational levels, different socioeconomic levels, beauty, non-beauty, different skin tones. Where he goes is to the very words of Scripture themselves, to the Old Testament. First in 9b, the writings from 2 Samuel 22, and then Psalm 18 there in 9b, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing of your name. And then again, he goes to a different passage there. Rejoice, O Gentiles, for his people. He is in the place of the law there. Deuteronomy 32:43. He moves on to the Psalm 117 in verse 11. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And then the text tells you where he ends up in the final place, in the prophets. Isaiah, the promise of Jesus coming, the root of Jesse there. The root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles, in him will the Gentiles hope. Now, here's the reason I tell you all that. Because Paul wants you to know that it has always been God's plan. It has always been God's plan to bring us together, to unite us as one people under Christ. In the beauty of His worship, this gospel unity leads to a gospel ministry that serves and reaches outward to others. Jew, Gentile, in this house, that's not the distinction. Belonging to Christ, that's the heart. Strong, weak, in this house, that's not the distinction. All in need of Christ, bound together by a common bond, that's the goal. And what I want you to see is that the gospel here demands that we are willing to rearrange our lives for others. You see, the gospel, it goes forward with strength because we have the hope of Christ. And we are called to rearrange our lives for those around us who are in need. Earlier this week, Dad doesn't know I'm sharing this story. He'll probably swipe me after I leave. But I guess you're never too old for a spanking, right? But Dad had a flat tire this week. And he called me. And I wanted to come, but I didn't see the message until like 20 minutes later. And so he's sitting at Sonic with a flat tire. And by the time I get there, there's a guy named Jack who just rolled up next to Dad, and he said, "Are you having trouble, sir?" Dad thought I'd sent him, so he said, "Yeah, I need a little help." And the guy just started changing Dad's tire. I can't tell you how thankful I was for that guy. He actually looked out. He rearranged his life for a need that he saw. He didn't know Dad. He didn't know me. He was just willing to get out in the 100-degree weather and begin to change a tire. He started it, I finished it because I did get there, but it was a great ministry. It was a great ministry because it was a need being met. What I want you to know, if you are a friend in Christ this morning, is that we should not close our eyes to the needs around us in the body and outside the body. Because we are the shalom, the peace of Christ to the world. We are the joy of Christ to the world. We are the welcoming agents of Christ to the world. And we should be willing to rearrange our lives for the love of Christ, who reordered everything to come and die and rise for us. I want you to see the heart of the text here. When Paul is pressing for a service that brings oneness, it's not by focusing inward, it's by focusing outward. It's by giving ourselves to the Savior and His service in the world around us. Why?
Because we have hope. Ours is a service that is filled with hope. I love it there in verse 4. For whatever was written in former days, that's the Word of God, was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. And then he builds on that hope down in verse 13. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Our service and our reason for service is because we're welcomed into Christ and we're welcoming others with Christ, and we have this hope that abounds. You have something to give. And we abound in the hope of Christ. God's hope that fills us with joy and peace is supplied by the power of the Spirit. Verse 4, by the truth of His instruction. It's that heart that leads us into service. Leads us into helping others where they are. Why? Because this service is a partnership. This service is a reflection. Some years ago, Mike McDonald, he's in here somewhere, Mike McDonald and I went down to San Antonio. I had a friend there, and his name was Gerald. Yeah, thanks, girls, I see him now. We went down and we met with one of my friends, a guy named Gerald, because he was in Uganda. We were talking about going to Uganda. Gerald has now gone on to be with the Lord, but he was the pastor of New City Church in Kampala, Uganda. And I remember that conversation, Mike, you probably remember it as well. As we were sitting there having this conversation, we were talking about the needs of the church in America and the needs of the church in Africa, and he gave us an invitation to come. And I remember he gave us an invitation to come and to partner with his church in meeting the needs. It's a beautiful concept. You know, we've been to Uganda many times, Mike many more times than I have been. But one of the things I cherish about going and ministering with this particular church and with African Bible University and with MTW missionaries are there in Uganda is that it's always partnership. Every medical clinic that Mike does has American doctors and African doctors. American nurses and African nurses. Every ministry we do where we stand and do street preaching in the gospel, it has American preachers and it has African preachers. But it has this idea of community reaching community. You know, that's the heart of the church here too. There, near, and far. The opportunity to partner with one another in reaching others for the love of Christ. Why? Because our service is reflection. It's the very reflection of the one who has saved us. If Jesus is our Savior, He must be our example in how we live. It's a call to live in Christ, even as we live in service of one another and others around us. That's our occupation. Our occupation is to be a welcoming people because we have been welcomed in Christ. We are to welcome others freely with Christ. And that makes our obligations to the world poignant. It's there that we begin to go. I mean, there are many opportunities for us to reach into parts of Bryan that many of you have never even been to. But with Jim, you can work with Elder Aid and you can be meaningful in your ministry to those who have great needs. John Clow is here. John? John's one of our ministry partners. I didn't know he was going to be at church today, but I know our church has supported, 15 years? We've been ministry partners together for 15 years. Honduras. John, you wouldn't mind having a few people come help you in Honduras one day, would you? No, we can serve here and we can serve there, but there's the opportunities for us to listen to God, to serve close, to serve far, because we have the welcome of Christ, the hope of Christ to share. And here's my call for us. As a people of God, we link arm in arm to the service of Christ. Weak and strong. Jew and Gentile. Broken and healed. Because of the love of Christ. We have a mission. And when we serve together, There are things that fall away because the mission of Jesus comes clear and the unity of Jesus is manifest. You know, here's the mistake that many people make about unity. Our world loves to talk about unity, but many think that you can manufacture it. You can't manufacture it. It's actually a byproduct of a love and service for Christ. Let's get our goal right and keep our eye on the goal of serving. I was thinking about football season. And across my newsfeed this week came a moment out of the Rose Bowl, 1929. I don't remember it, but I have seen the video. And it was a moment where Georgia Tech was playing the University of California. In the 1920s, University of California was the premier football program in the country. They went 5 years without a defeat at one point in the 1920s. And they were playing in the Rose Bowl, Georgia Tech, and the quarterback for Georgia Tech, his name was Stumpy Thomason. Stumpy Thomason was running the ball, and the All-American, All-Everything nose guard, he played center. In those days, they called it offensive center and defensive center. He played both ways. A guy named Roy Riggles. Roy Riggles received the fumble right into his hands, out of Stumpy's hands. And he was hit a couple of times, and he began to run towards the end zone. 65 yards he was sprinting, a nose guard, a nose tackle, getting a touchdown. When one of the guys on his team who was faster than him ran up beside him and said, "You're going the wrong way." He was tackled on the 1 yard line. Tackled on the 1 yard line. A blocked punt, it ended up in a safety, not a touchdown for him, a safety for the other team. And California would lose that game 8-7. Roy Riggles would say, when he came out, he was so distraught, he said, "If I could have dug my way into the turf, I would have just gotten a hole and just balled up and laid there forever." He was given the name that still stands today, Wrong Way Riggles. How'd you like to have that stuck to your name all your life? Wrong Way Riggles. But that wasn't the defining thing of his life. And it's not the defining thing of our life. As a matter of fact, nobody watches the rest of the game, but I'm told if you do, he had a spectacular game the rest of the game after that. You know, we can get so consumed with our wrong way, our struggle, our sin, that we can miss the mark of Jesus' very goal. Jesus' very goal was to come and to ransom a people for himself. Jesus knew his purpose for himself and for us. In Mark 10:45, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Beloved, if I could convince you of anything this morning, friend, if I could show you anything from God's Word this morning, is that all service in the Christian life is first formed out of service in Christ Himself. Here is life. That we are served by Christ Himself. And that forms our oneness. That forms our mission. That leads our service. Because He is our Savior. He is our example. Follow the lead of your Savior. In weeks to come, there'll be many opportunities for us to step out of our comfort zone into a world who needs Christ. Do it not because of your strength, because of the strength of the strong one in you, Jesus Himself. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, how thankful we are that you have given us yourself in the Son who has served us by taking our sin at the cross and rising for our justification. Would you help us this morning to celebrate the life that is ours by faith in Christ and to be a people who desire to be one and servants of all. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.